thank you. We come with thanksgiving. We are so grateful for what you have given us, Lord. We are thankful that you are our living hope. Church, just say thank you to him. I encourage you to speak out. Thank you for something that you are thankful for in your life right now. Whisper it, sing it. Say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are our living hope. Thank you, Lord. Good morning, everyone. All right. This is starting well. Could I have some help with some furniture moving, please? Paul, could you possibly move that down there? Thank you. Then I don't feel like I'm stretching up over there. And Rowan has some instructions to put three chairs there for me. Thank you very much. All right. And my voice is here. Thank you to my helpers. And I'll leave you all in suspense because the three chairs, I will come back to them in a minute. If you would like to turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Today we will be focusing on Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. This morning we are looking at the Spirit-led life. What does it look like to live by the Spirit? And how do we live led by the Spirit? Or as the NIV says, in step with the Spirit, which is a lovely picture, I think, of a child following in his father's footsteps, possibly jumping from footprint to footprint, moving and going only where the father goes. And what does Spirit-led life look like in every part of our lives, spirit, soul, and body? The spoiler is that it looks good. A Spirit-led life looks like peace in the storm, power when we are weak, and promises fulfilled when things look hopeless. What stops us keeping in step with the Spirit? In Galatians, Paul acknowledges that there's an inner struggle. We know that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Wonderful things, but the struggle is, as verse 16 says, the Spirit's desires are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you are not free to carry out your good intentions. I'm sure we can all relate to that inner struggle. That struggle is real. And this is where my three chairs come in. About 20 years ago, Rowan and I attended a church in London, and Pastor Julian used this illustration during a seminar, and it stuck with me, so I hope it is helpful for you as well. The chairs represent spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. I am Mary, but I'm not just what you see before me here. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. As teachers have said, my spirit longs to follow the Holy Spirit, but these two, the soul and the body, don't always want to. There's the struggle. As Paul says in Romans 7, I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. What a wretched man am I? Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? But thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ. So here's the good news. The answer to the struggle is Jesus. No surprise, the answer is always Jesus. But because he has overcome sin and death, we are no longer slaves under the law. As Thessalonians says, God desires us to be whole and holy through and through in spirit, soul, and body. And we love him with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength. And so we wish to follow him, our spirit, is the one that is in communion with the Holy Spirit as we are born again. But sometimes our soul, our mind, will, and emotions want to go its own way. Sometimes our body, that's subject to fleshly desires, subject to comfort, wanting the easy way out, wants to go its own way. But the Spirit should be in the driver's seat. My spirit was born again when I gave my life to Jesus about 40 years ago in a plain little room in a red brick Methodist church on the West Rand of Johannesburg. My spirit is now alive to God and will live for eternity and wishes to please the Lord. A spirit-led life should have the spirit here in the driver's seat with the soul and body following along behind. Even though my soul wants to often go its own selfish way, my body wants to go its way, soul and body need to come into alignment where the spirit goes. For example, as we sang this morning, when my spirit wants to sing praises to God, my soul may not feel like it. But that's when I say, come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, for you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. They're a masterpiece. It's a joy to see your smiling faces every week. Your body's brought you here to church. That's a good thing. Together, as the body of Christ, we can achieve things for God. We can be his hands and his feet in the world, blessing and serving others, and as his army, advancing the kingdom of God. My emotions may fluctuate as my circumstances change. My body may feel tired or sick, but I can still choose the Spirit's way. It reminds me of the Forrest Frank song called Okay. It's a really happy, bouncy song I recommend to wake you up in the morning. And there are the words up there. It says, I woke up late and the house is a wreck. Couple bills on the counter I don't want to check. The car needs gas and an oil change. I guess I'll get around to that next. Because my son's doing front flips on the floor and I'm supposed to be a silly dinosaur. And somewhere in the mess, I look to you and a new song starts to break through. Lord, I'm just grateful that I got to wake up today. You take my worries and hurries and fade them to gray. You have good plans for me. That's why I say, that's how I know everything is going to be okay. That's what it looks like with the Spirit in the driver's seat. So let's look at three of the things that happen when we walk led by the Spirit. A Spirit-led life produces peace. You've probably seen this poster or meme somewhere before that says, no Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. What better place to start than Jesus himself, our Prince of Peace? Because peace is not just the absence of conflict, it's wholeness, the Hebrew concept of shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken. And the Prince of Peace is our perfect example of a life led by the Spirit. He started his ministry being led by the Spirit into the wilderness where God prepared him for ministry. Read his words in John 5, I do nothing without my Father. He went only where and when the Spirit led him. He kept in step with the Spirit. He taught us in John 15, abide in me and I in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So he calls us to abide. I know our lives are busy. I think Jesus gets that too. He knows that many things demand our attention. But he desires peace for us. He desires for us to follow his Spirit away somewhere quiet, to sit at his feet like Mary did, even though she and Martha faced those demands, to be still and know that he is God. So follow the Spirit, carve some time out, daily, weekly, because the world is loud. Even when we're alone, there's a loud thing in our pockets that's demanding our attention all the time, isn't there? The world is loud, but Jesus went away to a quiet place. As Jill Briscoe calls it, sitting on the steps of her soul in the deep place where nobody goes to talk with Jesus. Is there a situation where you need some peace today? I'm guessing there probably is. A decision, a big change ahead, a relationship. Are you in the midst of a storm? Do you need rest for your body or your mind? You probably know this one, Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Bring him your requests, and notice that it says, come with thanksgiving. Just as in Colossians 3, he says, let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, since you were called to peace, and be thankful. Gratitude is the key to peace. Practice gratitude. Get so used to saying, thank you, Lord, that it's the first thing you say when you wake up and the last thing you say before you go to sleep. Gratitude brings awareness of the Spirit's presence in and around you. It brings awareness of all his gifts. Anne Voskamp wrote a book called 1,000 Gifts, and she challenges us to write down 3 things a day. If you do that for a year, someone can do the maths, but I'll tell you, it will surpass 1,000 gifts. Then you will know the peace of God, which transcends understanding. I love that we started the service this morning singing Thanksgiving. And church, we will, as the barn, wherever we go, keep thanking him. We will enter his courts with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Because he gives a peace not as the world gives. The world seeks peace in all the wrong places. Seek the true peace by following the Spirit. Secondly, a Spirit-led life releases power. Yeah. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, for the Spirit of God, the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and a sound mind. So this is not a message of trying harder in our own strength. Bishop Garlington said, a Christian life is not difficult. The Christian life is not difficult, it's impossible. But praise God, we have the Holy Spirit to empower us on this walk. There's probably something in your life where you need God's power to break through. His Spirit gives us the power to overcome no matter what we are facing. I believe that he wants to give us victory today. Maybe it's something you've struggled with for a long time. Today, that can end. I encourage you to pray. Pray with someone. Don't try and do it on your own. Perhaps you can ask the prayer team to pray for you today, or a trusted Christian friend to walk with you. Get help when you need it. Do not struggle alone. His Spirit gives us power to walk God's way, to put the Spirit back in the driver's seat. He gives us strength to say no to what is wrong because we are no longer slaves to sin. He gives us power over negative mindsets by helping us take captive every thought. And when we feel weak mentally, emotionally, or physically, he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. His power will sustain us as we choose to serve him to the end of our days. No matter how young you are here today, no matter how old you are, God's not finished with you yet. You have work to do. You need his power to sustain you. And I believe he's reminding us today that, as in Romans 8 verse 11, the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Let me say that again. The Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Paul repeated that after telling the Romans, he repeated it to the Ephesians a few years later after he'd been arrested. He was chained to a Roman guard under house arrest, and he wrote, God's incomparably great power for us who believe, that power is the same power as the mighty strength exerted when he raised Jesus from the dead. So that power was not subject to his circumstances. He wrote that when he was free, and he wrote that when he was in chains. If you doubt it, speak that over yourself right now. Hear it, believe it as I speak it over you. Take hold of it, because the power you need to face your personal circumstances, be that on a Sunday morning or a Monday morning, is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead that lives in you. Amen. Yes, we face struggles. Yes, we're in a battle, not against flesh and blood. But we are not powerless. We have armor and weapons for the battle. Jamie did a series on weapons of warfare last year, I believe. A plug for the website. You can go and listen to all of those podcasts. Weapons of warfare. Firstly, we have the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. That same Methodist church garden, under an almond blossom tree one summer in Johannesburg, in a youth group of just about 6 or 7 people, with a leader who put a Bible devotional in my hand, which started me reading the Bible for myself. My commitment to reading the Bible, I'll be honest, has been up and down over the years, but I'm so grateful that somebody helped me to get into the Word of God, to know how to use it as a weapon. We need it dug deep in our hearts. The name of Jesus is also a weapon. Philippians 2 says, at his name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. So speak the name of Jesus often. Speak it in faith. And another weapon is praise. Praise is a weapon. We sang it this morning. Praise ushers in the presence of God no matter where we are. It lifts our eyes and our thoughts above the things of earth. It breaks down the walls like Jericho. Sometimes it's hard to praise. Do it anyway. Even and especially when you don't feel like it. That's called crazy praise. Jamie's brother John preached a sermon on that here, one refreshing, about crazy praise. That's how we get our soul and our body in alignment with the Spirit. Praise him as passionately as you celebrated England footballers when they scored in the game last week, right? I'm sure there was noise in your rooms, noise in the pubs. Let us celebrate. Let us praise him as passionately, and hopefully as passionately as you will in the early hours of this morning. Speaking of which, isn't it inspiring to see how many of the World Cup footballers have been so bold about their faith, both on the field and off the field? They have been declaring their faith in Jesus, and that's so inspiring for us to be bold as well. So thirdly, a Spirit-led life positions us for God's promises. Romans 8, again, Romans 8 is one of my favorites, so I keep going back there. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. And if we are children, we are heirs of God. His inheritance is therefore ours as co-heirs with Jesus. We do not earn it. It's a gift of grace. 2 Corinthians 1 says, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through him the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. The Bible is absolutely full of the promises of God. He promises to never leave you, to be your help in trouble, to direct your steps, to keep you from falling, and many other promises. But sometimes we forget the promises, or we doubt them because we cannot see the way ahead. As we walk in step with the Spirit, we learn to trust him. Our lives become anchored in his promises in every season. One of my favorite ways to read the Bible is to open the Psalms with a highlighter and search for promises. Highlight them, put your own name in there, and pray that over yourself. Declare the promises of God that are for you individually. So many of the psalmists cry out to God in distress, distress that we can often relate to, but there's usually a turning point, a but God moment, where they remind themselves of who God is and what he's promised. There's some homework for you. Go and read a couple of psalms with a highlighter. In God, all of his promises are yes and amen. He promises to get us through every season. Isaiah 43, verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Notice he takes us through things. He doesn't always take us around them. Max Lucado wrote this wonderful book called You'll Get Through This. It's based on the story of Joseph. Joseph, who was thrown in a pit, thrown unfairly into prison, forgotten in prison. And God took him through those things. Let me read from this because I can't say it much better than Max Lucado. You'll get through this. Whatever you're facing, you fear you won't, we all do. Will we ever exit this pit? Yes. Deliverance in the Bible is bold, brassy, and everywhere. Out of the lion's den for Daniel, the prison for Peter, the whale's belly for Jonah, Goliath's shadow for David, the storm for the disciples, disease for the lepers, doubt for Thomas, the grave for Lazarus, and the shackles for Paul. God gets us through stuff. Through the Red Sea onto dry ground, through the wilderness, through the valley of the shadow of death, and through the deep sea. Through is a favorite word of God. And maybe that's a promise you need to hold on to today, that God will see you through. Remember, he delights in you. He has good plans for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. He holds your future and offers you hope of bright days ahead. A life of purpose and significance. Because you were born for such a time as this. Young people, rise up. Stand confidently in his purposes. I know that it's been spoken over you that life is so difficult as a young person in this day and age. And yes, that is true, and that's why we should pray for them. But young people, stand confidently on his promises. Know who you are in Christ. Because perhaps, like was said of Esther, perhaps you were born for such a time as this. So a spirit-led life leads us to peace, power, and promises fulfilled. But there's another P, patience, which is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Because we don't see the reality of these overnight. Max Lucado reminds us, sometimes God takes his time. He says Joseph was 17 years old when his brothers abandoned him. He was at least 37 when he saw them again. Sometimes God takes his time. 120 years to prepare Noah for the flood, 80 years to prepare Moses for his work. Jesus was on the earth for 3 decades before he built anything more than a kitchen table. How long will God take with you? He may take his time. But he also says, remember that you carry something of God within you, something noble and holy, something the world needs. The spirit-led life produces patience. Wait for the Lord. Watch for him. Keep on seeking, and you will find him. Romans 8:18 reminds us that our present sufferings are nothing compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. Jesus has won the victory over sin and death. But we still live in a world waiting for his return. While we wait, we see glimpses of heaven on earth. His Spirit touches us, heals us, works through us. So through the Holy Spirit, we can touch heaven and change earth. So we can know his peace, his power, and his promises. So what does this mean? It means surrendering to the Holy Spirit because he is the best leader. that we could follow. It means stop struggling in your own strength. Perhaps it's time to take up your weapons and lay down your burdens. And what does this mean for you now? What one situation do you need to surrender to him today? This week, what one thing can you do to put the Holy Spirit back in the leading position of your life? For your spirit to take the driver's seat. He's a good God and he will lead you gently, patiently, and give you the power for the very next step. As we wrap up now, I have three questions for you. The worship team could come and we'll go back into worship soon. Three questions for you. Firstly, where do you need to stop striving and let the Spirit bring peace? Or second, where am I relying on myself instead of the Spirit's power? Or thirdly, where do I need to trust God's promises when I cannot yet see the outcome? Let's pause, perhaps close your eyes and ask him which one is jumping out to you. Do you need the Spirit's peace today? Are you relying on him and on yourself instead of the Spirit's power? Do you need to trust his promises? Do you need to dive into the word and find some of his promises? Or perhaps it's something else that the Holy Spirit has prompted in you today. What is he nudging you towards? And often he just shows us the very next step. So know that you can take the next step in following him. Whichever one that is for you, I think our response is pretty simple. We are here to surrender. Invite the Holy Spirit to lead your life. We're going to sing, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Make it your personal prayer. Not just Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this room, which you are, Holy Spirit, come. But Holy Spirit, you are welcome in every part of our lives. Come flood my life, spirit, soul, and body. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Lead us now. Fill the atmosphere. Holy Spirit, we love your presence. Spirit, we invite you to take the lead in our lives. We know that there's a struggle. We feel that tension. But as we lift our eyes to you, as we invite you to lead us, we put the Spirit in the driver's seat. We say, come on, my soul, don't get shy on me. Lift up a song. We say, Holy Spirit, lead us. Whatever decisions we are facing, where we need healing in our minds or our bodies, we ask you to come and heal us. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Amen.